Good morning, everybody. I'm Carrie. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and bulimic.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi. And because I have the opportunity to teach yoga, I thought I would start us out by creating an even more sacred container than has already been created here. Thanks so much to Marcia and Amy and all the people behind the scenes to put this together. So what I would love to do is invite everybody to close your eyes, and I'd like to lead you through some breath work. And so just allowing yourself to arrive in your seat, feel the weightedness of your own body, your sit bones moving into your chair. Then you can visualize your shoulders, if you will, coming back a little bit so that you can even lift the chin and allow the body to receive the joy and the preciousness of this fellowship, of this community. And then we'll take 5 or 6 slow, deep rounds of breath together here. Inhaling through your nose, fill the lungs, fill them to their fullest capacity. And what's nice is you can take the opportunity to see if you can hear the sound of the breath around you. This is a gentle reminder that we are not alone on this journey. When we remind ourselves that we're not isolated, that we're a community, we can stay more healthy and present. So taking 2 more deep rounds of breath here. You can even open the mouth and a sigh of relief. And then allow me, please, to invoke my favorite chant. That is Dakshina Murti, who is a goddess of healing, a goddess of health and wisdom. And you're invited, if you'd like, to bring your hands together at heart center. Gurave sarvalokanam bijaje bravalokinam nidahe sarvavilyanam dakshinamurtaye namaha. Blinking your eyes open when you're ready. Thank you so much for allowing me to begin my share with that, because that's how I begin my classes, my yoga classes, and I've had the utmost privilege to work with children as well as a teacher. And so I was really quite surprised when I was asked to speak. This is only my second brunch with this fellowship, and it's only been about 18 months that I've been back in OA. And so perhaps my story of coming to believe in this fellowship is really rings true. And on that note, I would like to say that the ringing note, I had the courage to invite my 16-year-old son. And so should there be a tall, strapping 16-year-old that comes to the door while I'm talking, we will all let him come and sit next to his grandma who's here, my mom, Carolyn, who's here. So, also on that note, we had this nice exchange. I said, I get to speak at the OA brunch, and I'm so honored to be with my fellows and share my story. And my son and I have had really lovely dialogue this last year because of my recovery about my bulimia and about my history. And so I invited him to come today. And honestly, in my heart, it's so nice that whether he comes or he doesn't come, I'm here. And I had the courage to invite him. And so I want to put that aside now, so we know. But for me, rigorous honesty in my program has been really the key to kind of unlocking what's going on with me and food. And I deeply embraced this past year in claiming whatever my level of recovery was at the time. And I was confused to hear members at the beginning, say, I have 7 days, I have 30 days, I have 30 years. And so it didn't quite resonate with me at first until I learned, and I can share a little bit that at the end. I'm going to wrap up with that. But just a little brief synopsis of my background in terms of where I think that my food obsession came from. As a young child, I got caught stealing candy, and then I got caught stealing money to buy candy. And so right off the bat in my mind, I lied, and I had a lot of compulsions around hoarding. And I was raised in a home where screaming was a norm, and so that was my take on life, that you had to really get in somebody's face to be heard. And so when I left for college, I was in an all-girls prep school, and the general theme of the building was, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not good enough, I don't have enough money, and it was sort of like this overwhelming petri dish for bulimia, let's just say that, And so that's sort of where the behavior started, and I specifically remembered being with my roommate, and she and I were like, we heard about bulimia, and we thought, what a great idea. Oh my gosh. No, this is amazing. And remembering specifically saying to myself, I did that once, I will never do that again. And for my journey to continue over the next 3 years, I did a couple different moves and ended up in Boulder. And at this point in my life, at 18, I'd lived in 5 different states and had 2 different fathers and moved probably 8 or 9 times. So I moved here to go to college, and then ended up having College of Life. Dropped out of college and was like, this is my college now, I'm in the College of Life. And it ended up being 3 years of hellacious eating disorder as I isolated myself and didn't have any fellowship. And I remember constantly reminding myself of, I don't have any friends or family here. But let's just keep on, or this is what I'm doing. And so by the grace of God, one night after a few months of losing my job and letting go of a relationship of 5 years and moving into with some people that I didn't really know, at 2 in the morning, by the grace of God, was pulled over by the police and arrested for drinking and driving and carrying drugs on me. So I spent the night in jail and sat there wondering, what's kind of going on with Carrie? How does she end up here in such a state? And when I sat with my probation officer, this lovely woman, I'll never forget, she just looked at me and said, what is going on with you? How can I help you? And I just said, well, you know what? This is what my day looks like. I wake up, smoke a bunch of pot, eat a bunch of food, throw it up. Then I go for a bike ride up the canyon for a few miles, and I come home and do that all over again. And then I sit alone at night and have no one to be with. How do you think, this is what I'm doing. This is my life. And so by the grace of God, she put me into a 12-week intensive outpatient program at the Mapleton Center in Boulder. And after being required to go to OA meetings, what I did 3 meetings a week for 12 weeks, I was cured. I was good. It was gone. There, my bulimia was gone. My food obsession was gone. So I decided to have a geological cure and go to Santa Barbara after that. So I sort of picked everything up and moved. But interestingly enough, the food did not follow me. For 20 years, the food did not follow me. It just manifested itself into relationship addiction and drug addiction. Oh, okay. So when I was at that treatment center and they said to me, you know what, once you have an eating disorder, you will always have an eating disorder. I said, no, I got this down. I'm fine. I can handle this. And sure enough, the food did not follow me, interestingly enough. And so about 4 years ago now, this is where I would be talking about my son, but he's not here. So I think I'm going to skip that part. Because if he does come in, I'd like him to hear. I wanted to make amends to him. I wanted to make a public amends to him and say that I really missed out on a few good 4 years of his life because of my relationship addiction. Married an alcoholic man who was physically abusive, and
And my son was watching me, you know, at 6, at 7, at 8, at 9 years old through this. And so I guess I'll get to make amends with him outside of this room. But that's the joy of OA. That's been my gift. So in this last year of, so 18 months ago, I finally returned because I had a reoccurrence. All of a sudden, the food was back. And interestingly enough, it happened because of sort of that not happy with the body image. And a girlfriend of mine was like, hey, you should try this wonderful miracle weight loss program. It's just hormone injections, no big deal. And you only have to binge on food for 48 hours. And then after that, you get to live off of 500 calories for 9 weeks straight. It's going to be great. What was I thinking? Where was, I was not accessing my higher power, let's just say that. So interestingly enough, that actually re-triggered the disease for me right off the bat. And so, gratefully that I was, I 18 months ago came back into OA, and after 6 months of floundering around and kind of not really owning my program, started to pick up on people's, you know, little tidbits of what they did and what helped them. And I remember thinking, gosh, a food plan? That is not going to happen. I'm too busy for that. That is not in my program. I tell you what, I love my food plan now. It makes my life so much simpler. And I have this lovely sit at an altar in the morning and meditate, write out, you know, a simple food plan, and it makes such a huge difference. And what also I've been loving, in I'd like to celebrate with you guys, I have 1 year of abstinence as of about a week and a half ago from not purging. Thank you. And I wouldn't be able to have shared that had I not gone to the convention and gone to 2 meetings and a phone meeting per week and made outreach calls. They are phenomenal. I think it is so amazing when we're in the disease, all we have to do is reach out. And it is the hardest thing sometimes. And I think that's, for me, been the biggest gift, is saying yes to things that would be really outside of my box if I was in my disease. And so I've really come to believe this last year in the fellowship, and I wanted to also share, let me find this, that for me, having ownership around feelings, because at the Shepherd of the Hills meeting, we write, how do you feel, on our We Care list. And for me, that simple practice of saying, how do I feel, it has been just this huge and massive eye-opener for me, and allows me to be more present. And so I just want to give you a quick framework before I end of how I work my program, in terms of, I love the green and yellow and red light foods, and for me, I've been doing, I did a list of red light behaviors, and for me that was awesome in terms of what triggers me. So right now I'm currently very, very abstinent about no licks, tastes, or bites while cooking, and I don't eat in the car, and I don't eat standing up. Those are really huge behavior helpers for me. Being able to, so 3 meals and 2 snacks a day, amazing. If I go beyond that, then I know I'm off my program, and I have to really be watchful. Even I've noticed certain utensils and bowls that I used in binging behaviors, I can't use them now. I try to think of getting rid of them out of my kitchen, but then I'm like, you know what? You have OA. Why do you need to get rid of utensils and bowls? That's silly. You have your higher power. You can do this. So it's really interesting for me, being a witness to my own behaviors, being able to see things that I did that triggered me before, don't now. And so every morning when I wake up, the first thing I say is a serenity prayer in my heart, in my mind. And I've been taking such better care of myself. Little habits that set my day, and it's simple. Like, I'll floss straight away, and then I'll do some stretching straight away. Then I do a little bit of meditation, 10, 15 minutes. These are habits that sustain me and keep me healthy. And so before, when I was in the food, the first thing I would think about when I got up, we all know, right? We're there. And so I don't have that romance with the food anymore, thanks to this program. And so I want to celebrate that Golden had not had an OA program. And so that was one of my huge, huge accomplishments this past year was, like, well, if they don't have an OA program, we need to start one. Let's get one going. And tomorrow night, everybody is invited. It's our year anniversary. So it's 6:30 in Golden. Yeah. Love to have the group expand and grow. It's been a really thriving, lovely group. Let's see. I also wanted to just take the opportunity to share the 11th step prayer, because I think for me, it's showing up, it's being present. I like the phrase in OA, suit up and show up, right? And this is definitely my last stop on the block. I want to continue coming and being a member, and I just have such amazing individuals and members in my life that I've been able to share Tuesday morning meetings, and so I'm going to end with the 11th step prayer. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love, that where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness, that where there is discord, I may bring harmony, and that where there is error, I may bring truth, that where there is doubt, I may bring faith, and where there is despair, I may bring hope, that where there are shadows, I may bring light, and where there is sadness, may I bring joy. Lord, grant me that I seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved, for it is by self-forgetting that one finds, and it is by forgiving that one is forgiven. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Thank you, members. Happy New Year.